Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Moses grew up from baby in the house of the palace of Pharaoh. And it's a perfect example for us. He may have been growing up and he thought he was Pharaoh's daughter's, maybe Pharaoh's grandson. And do you know, they had adopted him and they were preparing him to take over the rulership of Egypt. They were preparing him. They trained him in the best training you can think of. They trained him being a prince. But somehow, as God will let arrange his things, they didn't know that the nurse that was nursing Moses was the mother. Hey, Jesus. This is God. He never leaves himself without a witness. God will never leave himself without a witness. You can't defeat the purpose of God. See how he did them abracadabra and smuggled the person that he will use to destroy them. They were the ones that brought him up so that they will protect him. Hallelujah. And so the mother must have been secretly as bringing him up, telling him who he is. Must have even revealed to him, I'm your mother, or I'm not. And they were paying the mother to take care of her daughter. Oh, glory be to God. And you can imagine the type of training she will give. He was receiving two trainings. One from the mother and the other from the teachers, or the generals in the palace of Pharaoh. But he caught the revelation. And the Bible says he chose rather to identify with those slaves. He chose it rather than the kingdom of Egypt, where he was supposed to go and rule. By a revelation he had, he decided instead to identify with those despised few, those other slaves. He knew where he belonged and identified with them and rejected all the honor. But today, Christians are rejecting the word of God to enter and join all these politicians and compromise their faith. It was not so with Moses. And now you will say, are you saying Christians should not go into the ministry? I say, Christians should not go into politics. Christians can go into politics. You will go into politics. Hallelujah. And this is why this story is there. You will go into politics like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. This is how we are supposed to go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. That is how we are supposed to go. Hallelujah. That thing, you lose, you lost your birthright. You compromise. You join secret court. You join them. You join the Lilai. You join everything. All so that you will get a political office. Joseph refused to do that. Daniel, Meshach and Abednego refused to do that. But they still ended up in political offices, ruling those nations. There's something to learn there. Praise the Lord. Note verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. One of the requirements for that training to produce you and bring you, after they caught them captives like that from Israel, from Judah, the keeper of the eunuchs, the head of the eunuchs that is in charge of producing them, they had a procedure where they would keep them, feed them with a special meal. That means the king had a university, had a special school, had a special college where he produced his his officers that worked in the palace with him. And they are properly chosen. They are people of intellect. They are people with extraordinary endowments. They are called wise men. They had extra wisdom that were useful to the king. And so they found these four. And from the story that goes, you can see how special they are. And he brought them and kept them to eat. Now, see the type of food that we eat. It will include food that, as a Jew, the law, the Jewish law, forbids them from eating. It will include food offered to sacrifice, to idols. Sacrifice to idols. It will include maybe pig, forbidden meat, swine. And it will include all manner of things that they ate there. And it is special food from the king palace himself. So it must be some special food that when you finish eating, when you appear, you look fresh. Because if you are going to walk as a special staff of the palace, then you should not be looking like, look haggard. There's a special way you're supposed to appear. So they are to bring them all. You know they are slaves. So they dealt with them too much. So prepare them, and it is to last for 3 years. And then when they finish, then they finish the training, they'll bring them before the king. The king will now look at them, and their assignment will begin. But see, hallelujah. If you go to verse 8, but Daniel proposed in his heart, not in his mouth. I can talk for long on that alone. Hallelujah. This heart, the heart. Bible doesn't play with words. He proposed in his heart. And it was a decision he made. And any decision you take from your heart, nobody can change it. But if you just open your mouth to talk, and because people want to hear, that's why I say, I don't believe, I'm not sure I have ever done that, where I go and make altar call after I have preached. Then people come, then I say after me. Lord, I've decided to give my life to Christ. Lord, receive me. Lord, from now I will not do this again. Accept me. Did you say it? Yes. Now you are born again. See. Amen. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in let me lead somebody in a prayer. See. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, if it is the truth you will preach, they will be pricked in their hearts. Hallelujah. And then they will be convicted. Then they will be concerned. You know the bad things you are doing before. Then you want me to help you to say you will not do them again. Well, continue doing them now until the day you decide to stop. Say after me, I will not fornicate again. I will not fornicate again. I will not steal again. The person they tell and say, I will not steal by God's grace. I will not steal. I will not fornicate again. In mind, they go to a girlfriend where they wait. Well, by God's grace, I will not. Well, then the next thing they will say, I'm born again. Are you born again? Yes. Which day? I'm born again. Because the new birth was not from the heart, it was from the mouth. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come there. It's not come with leg. It's bring your heart. It is your heart is looking for. The people that really, really give their life to Christ, many of them that last forever, they don't even come to the altar. He will sit down for sitting there. He's too condemned to even be able to stand up. He will just be there crying. So Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not be defiled. He will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. A Hebrew slave in captivity, in the house of a king that has power over life and death, they can kill you at the risk of their life. Praise the Lord. Not with the wine which he drank. So they were even serving them with a special wine that the king, that was prepared for the king. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. But watch verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That is something I want you to take note of. The prince of the eunuch, the head of the eunuch, was in charge of bringing them up. But somehow, hallelujah, hallelujah, the first thing God did was to make Daniel have special favor with that man. And what comes to my mind truly is, if a man's way pleased the Lord, if a man's way pleased the Lord, in Potiphar's house, Joseph received special favor from his master. Until everything in the house, except the wife, he handed over to Joseph to be in charge. And the wife set him up because we must face these trials. Brother, sister, your integrity must be tested. Your confession, your decision, your faith must be tested. And it is only when you pass that you call yourself an overcomer. That is the word. The watchword for every one of us is overcomer. We are supposed to overcome. Every one of us here, your testimony is not complete until you have testimony of a trial that you overcame. I repeat. See, we learn these things. This is one thing we have learned from this chapter, from the story. You know, that wherever you are, remain a Christian. Don't compromise your faith. And that stand, I repeat, will be tested. And sometimes the test is so subtle. I keep telling you that our brother Maduka, what I have learned from that man, what I have learned from him, what I have learned from him, this man told us here, openly here, a trial he went through. The nature of his business, I mean, the rating he has, his credit rating is such that he does not need to give collateral for any loan. Davidson, what do you call them? What is their name? Let him go. What is their name? You are a banker, so.
It's the rating they call negative pledge. Just for him to say, I'm owing you. Negative pledge.
That's all. He will just say, okay, I am owing you. With mouth. Okay, I am owing you. You don't talk and say, how much do I owe me? And on that alone, they gave 16 billion naira. Not to him. To somebody that he himself, he trusted, will be like him. and the person with the money. Then, of course, you can imagine the wahala. We all know, we read it in the newspaper for a whole year. Every day it was in the newspaper. And before you know what, they told him, oh yeah, that was when the bank now is putting together documents. Okay, come and sign. So that they can use it to defend themselves that this is the person that signed, because he didn't sign anything. They brought it, and his company, directors of his company and all the managers, they came together. They say, Lai, don't sign it. No, they don't know who they give. May they pursue the person when they give the money. But they are saying that it is on your own word that they gave him. And then the managing director of the bank is coming and begging, and they are saying, let them have. Then, here is he. If he says today, lie, I deny and deny it, there is nothing anybody can do, nothing they can use. You see the test I'm saying now. That is where the test is. You heard him. It's not even including his wife. Because where will you get 16 billion to go and pay? This man refused to pay. But it was a test. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anywhere he goes, his signboard on his cloth is Jesus. He said he put it deliberately, so that anywhere he goes, they will know which side he belongs. When he's having a meeting with those occultic people, they will know who belong. He told us one time, he told me one time, he said they were in a meeting with all those directors and all those managing directors, all those big billionaires and millionaires in a meeting, and then one of them, they said, let us pray before we start the meeting. And then one stood up and then was making caricature, pray which name, that he doesn't believe there is a God. I beg, let's do meeting. And then he went and then was talking nonsense about the Christian faith. And they are the people that are supposed, they are coming together to invest, to give him money. And so they are making caricature. He said he stood up and looked at the man and said, shut up, sit down, my friend. He said he was vibrating. The man thought he was going to fight him physically. I said, sit down. The Bible call you a fool. So everywhere you go, you be Christian, Abi. Oh yeah. Let's see now whether you will keep your word at this point. Hallelujah. Say, lie, you don't know anything about that law because they have no evidence, and keep your 16 billion, or sign it and lose the 16 billion. He said he battled with it, and because he's a human being, that is why it is a trial, that is why it is a test. Because Saul too had the same opportunity as David before Saul. Somebody looking to kill him was delivered to his hand. The man was sleeping. All he needed to do is, and that is the only person standing between him and the throne to become king. He's waiting for him to go. The enemy was delivered into his hand. He just let him know that I had the power to kill you, but I decided not to kill you. He collected his sword, collected everything, and went away. That was a trial. He passed. And he said, he woke up one day and said, what is this? 16 billion is not my life. He went by himself to the bank, called the managing director, bring those papers. And then he said, he signed it. Listen, he said, when he signed it, he drove home. His wife was there, he shouted. The wife was saying, why are you shouting? He said, I have won. He said, you have won what? I have won. He said, he was jumping and celebrating. He said, what did you win? He said, I signed it. You don't learn anything from this. You won't learn anything again that will help your Christian life. There are some of you that hold people in your heart for how many years? people issues that you just, you know, see, do you know what it cost him? In that bank, he owned 25% of that bank. All his shares were sold to replace that money. He lost everything, the ownership. He told me one day, he said, Brother Moses, he said that throughout the period he was a director in that bank, he said the shares, what do you call them, dividends from that bank alone, he said the least he was receiving every year, the least is 400 million. Shares, dividend only. He said the least is 400 million. He said because of that share, he said there was a time that every month, he was receiving over 300 million. Every month. And he lost all that. And yet he's saying, I win. Why? This man has decided to serve God. And so, you are saying his Bible story, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. You say in a Bible story, that's why I am bringing the living testimony that is here before us. In our own time, facing the same pressure that many of us face, you know what you do concerning your businesses. You know what you do. How many of us here that your master will go and sleep and commit the business into you while you are serving him? And go and sleep. You know what you are doing there. And then you are carrying Bible. And then you will come and pay tithe. And you will dance here. My God has blessed me. When you thief reach 20,000 that week, you are bringing 2,000. That's my tithe. That's my tithe. And you expect favor to follow you. Favor can never follow you. All of a sudden, your master will just change and begin to hate you. And you're wondering why? What have I done? Who are you asking? Ask your heart. You did something. Daniel, praise the Lord. At the risk of his life. So I'm saying something here. The head of the eunuchs, God made sure he had favor with Daniel, had favor with him. Now see it. Since Daniel, the story goes, you will not eat the food that will nourish you. He told him, if the king should see you and discover that you were not properly taken care of, say, he's risking his life. So Daniel said, don't worry. Do me this favor. If you read the story on, he said, give me only beans. It's beans he actually asked for. Beans and water. Just try us for only 10 days. 10 days. And come and see. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That song that I say, for I know whom I believe it, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. They that know their God, they'll be strong and they will do what? Exploit. It was not by vision he was saying it. He was saying it by faith. He knows he stands with his God. Just bring beans. Let me be eating just four of us. Amen. And he said, if after 10 days, then come and look at us. And the Bible says, can we read it? Maybe let's just remind ourselves again. Amen. Which verse was that? Verse 12. Prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Those who are eating from there, take and compare with us that we will not eat the king's meat. Give us only pulse. My Bible describes pulse means beans. Amen. And then and then come back after 10 days, you yourself, and look at those where they chop up and those where know they chop up like us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know how God will do it. God will even make sure he turned the other ones to kwashoko. Because he wants to prove a point. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Mesad took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let me just use one example, sister. The reason you paint yourself, the reason you put all those things you put on, is it not because you are hoping that you will be beautiful? You believe that is how the people in the world, that is how beautiful they are. That is what they define as beauty. But God has defined the beauty of his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let all your unbelieving friends, listen to, let all your unbelieving friends, including your sisters that refuse to give their life to Christ, prostituting up and down, let them dress the way they dress. Let them act the way they act. And then you, for Christ's sake, the emphasis is for Christ's sake, you are ready to suffer reproach. Because you are ready to suffer the reproach. But you also do that by a revelation that you know if you stand with him, he will stand with you. If you stand for him, he will stand with you. For Christ's sake, you decide to look different and look the way a Christian should look. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you can now, any day they challenge you, say, okay, at the end of it all, we will see. At the end of it all, I will be like this. You be like that. All of us say we are waiting to marry. Make I see the kind man will go marry you. You go see the kind man will go marry me. If it is for marriage, we are doing it. And God will come down. Pop! Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But the problem with us is we have no stand. We have no purpose in our hearts. That worshiping God is for better, for worse. And that we belong somewhere and we have an identity to portray. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And we saw, as you read on, that when they finally appeared before the king, wow, this is whom the king desired. And he placed them appropriately in his palace. Read it and you learn it. So what do we learn from that? That we as believers living in this world is another prison. We are waiting. Our deliverance is the rapture. Our deliverance is death. Until we leave this world, we are still in prison. We are in prison here. I repeat, this world is not our home. There is a city that we are looking forward to. There is a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, glory be to God. We came from somewhere. We don't belong to this system that we see here. We don't belong to this system. And we are not only to say with mouth, we are supposed to live a life that separates us. We should be free from any form of compromise. Living a compromising Christian life, compromising with the world system, what does it produce? It gives us, leaves us with a life of powerlessness. It leaves us with a life of spiritual barrenness. And because of what the lifestyle we live, we get cut off from true fellowship with God. Therefore, we cannot have true revelation. Christians today, we cannot have dreams and visions that can properly position us where we should be as far as God's plan for salvation is concerned. When I see people who say they are prophets, and all they are prophesying, they keep prophecy as if this Nigeria is a Christian nation. Every year, the prophecies for 2017. Pray, one king will die with an expressway. Let three governors pray against this. Prophecy. Nothing concerning the soon coming of the Lord. Nothing that will make Christians stand on their toe and have any hope. No prophecy to believers. All their prophecies are to unbelievers. Praise the Lord. Why? Because they have compromised. Love of money has blinded the spirit of true revelation from God. All the revelation they see is revelation targeting areas that will bring some financial gain or bring some popularity. Have you not seen that some of these churches, their prayer is that one Nollywood star will come to their church? And when he comes, they will celebrate him and celebrate him and celebrate him. Let one celebrity come to their church. They will celebrate him. They will celebrate him. Celebrate him. Give him, you know, all the attention that is desired. Hey, let governor come. They have arrived. They will testify. They told me that I will not make it. Can't you see now? The testimony, all the vision they see, all the revelation they see, nothing spiritual that can help any Christian have a hope of the soon coming king. Why? Because they compromise. They compromise. But I tell you that if you stand for God, he will stand for you. If a man's way pleases the Lord, see, all this wahala many of us are facing, I have told you, sometimes we should look inward. I'm saying this and it will help somebody here. Let me tell you, where you find yourself is not the problem. You are surrounded by snakes. You are surrounded by lions, witches and wizards all over your family that you cannot progress. It's not your problem. Your only problem is your relationship with God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, amen. Somebody here, change your tactics. Since you have gone to mountains, the situation didn't change. Since you have done dry fasting, the situation didn't change. It's even getting worse. And it looks as if the God you serve is a deaf God. You have done everything. You have sold all you have and you nothing. I have an advice for you. Hallelujah. Now, drop the fasting. Drop the mountains. Stop going to prophets. Now, face your relationship with God. Because if a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh it to be at peace. Oh, glory be to God. Even with his enemies. Hallelujah. If you are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. If you stand for him, he will stand for you. I've been, you know, because always remember, when God steps down to give you victory, victory is a reward from God. I don't know if somebody is understanding my English. Hallelujah. The testimony you have is a reward from God. The victory you have is a reward from God. And you cannot just receive a reward. A reward is earned. You earn it. There is a stand you took. There is a reproach you follow, you took. That God comes down and rewards you for your stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, now. Because when you identify with him, you stand with him, then you make him your friend. And when you make him your friend, then he will be exposing every secret to you. He will be exposing every secret to you. I say this with all humility. I'm telling you, I have enjoyed this aspect of my Christian life. And that is what has given me confidence to talk the way I talk. I know as long as I am speaking the truth and I am living it. Because there are people who preach and they don't live it. I try by all means because I know my only saving grace is to hold on to him. My prayer, even this morning, I told God, Lord, you know, if you turn your back against me for 1 second, Satan will cut me off. And if I will pray that type of prayer, God too will answer me and say, if you stay with me, I will hold you. It's two way. It's give and take, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I say, imagine me, I was owing a finance house. I've given you this testimony before. I was owing a finance house that financed a contract I had, but they didn't pay me. But they kept disturbing me for payment. And then, at the heat of it all, suddenly, one day, I was in a revelation. And I saw them. They came to my office. And I stood, I said, oh, these people have come again. Then I saw it. As they were coming out, they were about to come this way. Then I saw myself walk like this, behind, enter my car, and drove off. When I go find me, who will I go see for there? The revelation cut off. I was thinking. I thought it is too much thinking of their disturbance. Do you know? I was standing outside my office and I saw them back outside and they were asking somebody. I said, are these people be this? Then I remember the revelation, the vision. I say, oh, I follow here. That time we were using 090 mobile phone. So I took my car immediately and drove off. 5 minutes after I drove off, my phone rang. Where are you? I say, I am on the road. What happened? They say, we are in your office. I say, oh, sorry, I'm not in the office. Praise the Lord. Is it God that showed me? It's God that showed me how to escape from people who are worrying me. I had a new car. And all of a sudden, in a revelation, I visited a house. I parked the car outside. I visited a house. I came out. I looked for my car. I didn't see it again. They stole the car. The revelation left me. I said, Holy Ghost fire. They're not going to take my car. Holy Ghost fire. I'm talking of years ago. More than months passed. I went to visit somebody. As I entered the house, I was saying, this building is familiar. Where I don't enter? Where I don't see this before? This is very, very familiar. But I never come here before. This is very, very familiar. I sat down. Then I remember, I said, now here you come where they thief that car. I said, yeah. I jump up. My husband said, what happened? I said, I come. When I saw the car, I said, I beg, I go. I enter my car. I took off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you get close to him, he becomes your friend. He will show you everything. Show you everything. Do you know that you say expo is sin? I know students that during examination like this, the answer will appear sharp in a vision. And they will write it. You say, but that one an expo now. It is not about expo. It is about a relationship so close with God, he becomes your friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Abraham was the same thing with Abraham. Do you notice something? Let's read Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. Genesis. Concerning Abraham. Amen. If you read it further before we come to verse 16. Amen. Praise the Lord. In that Genesis 18, if you read it from the first verse there, the story goes that three angels, you know, Abraham was in front of his gate, and then he saw three angels. He ran and met them, and they worshipped them. That is how we know that it was God, with two angels. And then he beseeched them. You remember he was used to seeing them. That they should come now. Come. Don't just go. You must be tired. Come now, and then at least come and rest. Let me give you water to wash your feet. Let me just come, and let me give you small food now. And then they say, okay, let's go. It was not Abraham they were coming to see you. They were on their way somewhere. They were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. But now, they came, so many things to learn from this Bible. Now, they came, I said that Abraham rushed to his wife. Quickly prepared three morsels of meal. Quickly, he ran and caught a very nice, prepared very nice barbecue. Killed the ram. Came immediately. Gave them. They finished eating. The next thing you saw was, hallelujah. Amen. He now blessed Abraham. Sarah, your wife, will have a child. By this set time of life. Even Abraham doubted it. Sarah was laughing at the back there. Well, I've already passed menopause. Now, when I go chop and I think they go. He was laughing. And then he said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Why are you laughing? Why are you doubting? Amen. But that is not where I am going. I am saying, the Bible says that we should entertain strangers, correct? That in so doing, thereby, people of old have entertained angels. And when an angel visits you, you know he leaves a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But not just that they are strangers, but Abraham knew there was something divine about them. And it is the same revelation that the Shunammite woman had, the same revelation that who is the other woman that built a little place for Elijah and his servant. Praise the Lord. And then for recognizing it, they didn't want anything from them. They were just, these are servants of God. And they decided to do something little for their comfort. You saw the blessing that went. You saw the woman of Zarephath. You saw, okay, the other one is the Shunammite woman. This one is the woman from Zarephath. You saw how that, because it is a servant of God, he said, make for me first. You see, there is something about, you know, acknowledging God. And then, when they finished that, eating and blessing that Abraham, they now took off to go. But suddenly, they stopped. Now, let's read it. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. He was seeing them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him. Verse 19 is my emphasis. For I know, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That is the testimony of Abraham. God knew that. I said, I know. Because of the testimony of Abraham, that he will bring his household, bring them up in the fear of the Lord, to follow him and keep his commandments. What I want to do, should I hide it from him? So what is the condition for God to give you revelation in this age? Then you will understand why the denominations will never have revelation until the rapture will take place. And this is very serious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you make God your friend, a life pleasing before him, David, and when I say living a life pleasing before him, I am not talking about living a life so you are so holy until you cannot kill an ant. You know, the way you live, you don't even smile anyhow, then you live. That is not what I mean. See, do you know the Bible described David as a man after God's heart? And yet, he killed somebody and collected his wife. But do you know what? One thing about David is that anytime he realizes he has done something wrong, he repents. And shows the repentance. He loved God so tight. You can see that he could not feel comfortable living in a mansion, and the tabernacle of the Lord, the ark of God, was kept in a tent. See where his heart is. And he was a man after God's own heart. So, the life of righteousness is not about you living a life until from morning to night you did nothing wrong. But it is a life of total subjection to God. And so that when you fall, you realize you have fallen, you stand up immediately. And such people, hallelujah, praise the Lord, they will not do anything willfully. They will not be part of any iniquity. Iniquity is knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. Do you know that the Bible says Abraham was a friend of God, and yet when it came between him and Abimelech and his wife, he had to say, come, so that I go save my life, make I not die. If they ask, say you be my sister, not talk, say you be my wife. Now you can say he lied, and yet he was a friend of God. Praise the Lord. So what God was using to determine the friendship with him is what you should look at. Why is he his friend? It's not even a life of total submission to God. He loved him so much, and he became his friend. And one thing you want to note, because should I hide anything from him, so that you will know why the bride of Jesus Christ, there will be nothing hidden again from us. Why? Because the bride has made herself ready, clothed with the garment of righteousness, clean, white, the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19 looks at us like that before the rapture. This is the stage of Revelation chapter 19, where we are equipped with the righteousness of God, cleaning up with the washing of the water by the word. All of them. Job, the same testimony. John the Baptist, the same testimony. Isaiah, The same testimony is a life of self-denial. To stand for God. And that is why Daniel, these four Hebrew children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that is the reason why God selected them, placed them in the whole of that to be the ones that he will give this monumental revelation. I call it monumental revelation. Praise the Lord. The revelation of the times of the Gentiles. There is a program of God for the Gentiles, for the whole world, that was going to begin from King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom, and that we go on. The future had to be revealed until Christ will come in his second coming to establish the millennial kingdom. Nobody else knew anything about it. Only these friends of God. It's a benefit of the friendship with God. It's a benefit of the friendship with God. Friendship with God here is loving revelation, the word of God. And so, that is the story in chapter 2. The image, the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. That God made sure nobody had the interpretation. Only these four Hebrew children. To achieve several, things, he chose them. And they are a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. They will not be groping in darkness. They will not be groping in darkness until everybody has an idea of how the rapture will take place. People are getting worried now that Islam wants to take over the world. People are getting worried. So much evil in the land. And to them, hey, the world is coming to an end. Hey, but solution, they know nothing. But the bride of Jesus Christ, we have the divine agenda that has been revealed. And part of that divine agenda is that dream that he gave King Nebuchadnezzar. That only Daniel and those three Hebrew children were able to understand. And what he showed them was what the Bible referred to as the times of the Gentiles. And that will be chapter 2, and we shall look at it next week, God willing.